Hi, this is Mike.
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. We are episode 158, and it has been less than a year since we recorded our last one, which makes us kings, as far as I'm concerned. Well done, everybody, for finding time in our calendar to get back together after what feels like nothing more than about a week. How bad is that? Oh, that takes me back to the heady years of 2012, 2013, where we took this shit seriously. I mean, we recorded on a more regular basis, it would seem. So, but then again, I suppose if you're recording once a year, that's still regular, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still
regular. Evenly spaced. It still works.
It's evenly spaced. But we're going to try to maintain a slightly higher tempo now. Otherwise, we're going to get so far behind that no one's going to take us even close to seriously. Right. Anyway, how are you guys? Dave, what have you been up to? How's your week been?
Fine. I've just got back late last night, I suppose early this morning, from seeing Mr. Big in Wolverhampton.
Oh.
They're on their farewell tour. And to be fair, on the performance last night, poor old Eric Martin is struggling vocally.
Oh, no.
He really is. So if it's a sign of his current condition, I think it is time to say farewell. But it was brilliant because they played the Lean Into It album, 1991 release, and that's very much a sixth form album for me, from a very favourite from that era. So it's lots of good memories. So it's lovely to hear the whole thing played in full. So great gig. And of course, I saw posters for Lacuna Coil while I was there.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah.
So
I've heard of them. We should check them out at some stage. Yeah. Wow. I love the fact you referred to it as a sixth form album. Maybe we should have a conversation one day about what our sixth form albums are, I think, reflecting back all those years ago. For those of you who aren't familiar with the sixth form, in the UK, I don't know how to put this. That's the best way to describe it. You have 5 years in senior school. And at the end of the fifth year, at least it was when I was a young whippersnapper, you would take your exams and then you'd have a sixth form, which was a 2 year, which you could go on to take A-levels, we used to call them. I think they're still called A-levels, aren't they? And then after the sixth form, well, actually, you could go on to college, but after the sixth form, you would then apply for university. So I always kind of saw education as like after junior school, a three-stage, 5 years in at senior school, take your... the exams you take around 16 years old, then 2 years in sixth form, and then go on to higher education. Is that how you see it? I don't know why we're
talking about that.
Yeah.
Summarizes it, right?
But I think around that kind of 16, 17 year old was when you were, when we were all discovering the kind of music that would see us through our, you know, young years and into our 20s. So there's probably a lot to say about what we were listening to around 16, 17. I know what I was listening to. It was quite diverse, actually. But yeah, okay, we'll come back to that. I think we should talk 1 week about sixth form albums, songs, whatever. There we go. That's something to think about.
Absolutely.
How about you, Mike? What have you been up to?
I went to Birmingham on Tuesday to see Judas Priest. How
was it?
And you're right. Yeah, it's amazing. Fourth time I've seen Judas Priest. Never sounded so good. 50th year, I think, in the business. More than 50. 54, I think. 55.
Do you want a mission from me? Here's a mission. The only time I've listened to more than one Judas Priest song was in the car last year with you. Somewhere in the Midwest of America, when you decided, you know, it was your turn to choose what we were going to listen to. And we'd had the Go-Go Ponies, and then you put on Judas Priest, and I was like, oh, okay, this is Judas Priest, isn't it? There you go. There was a bit of Motorhead in there. There was some Judas Priest, but yeah, that was the most I've ever listened to Judas Priest, and I will stand in the corner and think about what I've done.
That is shocking.
It is shocking. I'm sorry. Everybody from the UK, all those British rockers out there are gonna go, what the hell? You're not fit for this. You're not. Anyway, there you go. That was so. But you had fun.
Yeah, it was amazing. I brought the average age down by probably, I don't know, 30 years.
And you brought the average age down, not up, down. Wow. Okay. So it was not a young crowd, is what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
Lots of old denim and lots of old leather. Yeah.
Amazing. Was that top and bottom? As in, you know, leather trousers, denim jackets, yeah, leather trousers.
The whole
mix and match. Yeah, I can well imagine. Yeah. Lots of sew-on badges and white beards. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it.
Don't knock the white beard.
I'm saying nothing about white beards. Right. Cool. What did I do this week? Not a lot, actually. I've been watching For All Mankind on Apple Plus. Really enjoying that. I've probably done a lot. I built my Lego Ornithopter last weekend, but we know.
Yay, that. Lego.
That's above me. I hanged it from the ceiling. I hanged it. Is that what you do? Yeah, I'm hanging it from the ceiling. I've got some lights to put on it. I'm going full on this one. So next time you see a picture on Instagram from me about, I'll probably be that in with lights on. But yeah, that's kind of about it. It's been a bit of a quiet week. Work's been busy. So I won't bore you with the details of work. Anyway, enough about us. Let's talk about Lacuna Coil. So in our last podcast, the three of us talked about the potential for a UK tour, and then they released a UK tour announcement. In between the recording and, of course, the publishing of the podcast. So anybody who listened to episode 157 is kind of thinking, why are they talking about a UK tour? It's already been announced. So there you go. That was the time differential. I think one of my highlights of this week is probably seeing Dave's video on Instagram of him receiving the news about the tour. I love that you kind of running around like a little kid to Christmas kind of thing when in and out of rooms. So
it creates that genuine reaction though, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Well, it does after 5 years of waiting.
Especially after 5 years of waiting and seeing tours pretty much everywhere else except for the UK, kind of going, when are we going to get the Lacuna Coil back on these shores? And now we have. And now we've got 7 dates. So I'm sure most people listening to this podcast have heard and seen the announcement, but essentially starting on the 18th of October this year, starting in O2 Academy in Bournemouth, and then running through for, I guess, essentially the next week. So we got the 20th of October in Manchester, 21st in Glasgow, 22nd in Wolverhampton, 24th. So that's an interesting, that's a day split there, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So we've got a couple of off days. Northampton, and then 25th. Nottingham, not
Northampton.
You'll be easy. Ooh, yeah, you'll be
even more excited.
Yeah, yeah, just sitting outside. Popping by for a cup of tea later. Nottingham, I should say, at Rock City. And then the 25th of October is London Roundhouse. And then 26th is in Bristol at the O2 Academy. I'm right saying we're going to try to get to all of these dates, right? So I've got tickets. We've all got tickets. The plan is...
I don't know about Bournemouth yet because I don't know how to get there, but I'll figure something.
We could work something out. I think the interesting one's going to be the Glasgow to Wolverhampton to Nottingham. Feels like an interesting kind of zigzag across the country. So that's going to be a fun one, I think.
I think the main one's Manchester up to Glasgow and back down again. Once you've done the back down again, it's fairly close together, isn't it?
Yeah, Manchester to Glasgow is quite a fun journey, though, isn't it? You know.
And
we've got T-Bay services to look forward to.
Exactly.
So that's fine. So straight through the middle of the Lake District and keep on going, you know. Yeah. Second star on the right and straight until morning kind of thing. Yeah. And then London to Bristol will be fine. That's straight out on the M4 or on a train. Yeah, it's the Wolverhampton to Nottingham. I'm head scratching my way. I'm sure there's a way to easily get there, but I have this awful feeling I'm going to have to go all the way back into London and then round and up on the A1 kind of thing.
By Birmingham.
What, M40? Yeah, okay.
Because there's the day off in the middle of it.
Yeah, yes, there is, yeah. We've got 23.
You can bear in mind, if it helps, you can bear in mind I live pretty much in close proximity to Wolverhampton and Nottingham, so you can always dart back to my place.
There we go. Got free invites.
Everyone's invited. Don't tell the wife.
Don't worry, I'm sure she won't listen to this.
Literally everybody.
It looks like a Facebook party the day after. Sort of, yeah. But you're not sure about Bournemouth then, Mike?
No, well, I want to go. I think the only realistic way I can go is to go Manchester, London, London, Bournemouth.
Well, we can work something out. Maybe I can give you a lift, depending on, you know, my car's not big, but we can all squeeze in. We can do something like that, can't we? So.
Yeah, I'm not overly worried. It's no biggie.
It's going to be good. I'm kind of, I mean, what do we think about the in the meantime ... That's got to be a reference. It's got to be a reference to a song or the album or something, surely, when they put
in the meantime. I did wonder if it was a song title.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. You know, they don't just... Go on, Mike.
I think it's in the meantime, you get the tour before the album.
No, I'm not convinced. I'm really not convinced. No, that's not their logic. I don't think it's that.
In the meantime,
so perhaps I've done another cover. You remember the 90s song In the Meantime, Space Hog?
That'll be interesting. Maybe, I guess.
I actually love that song. But
I guess the other thing is that we know that they're recording stuff. We know that they've got some, you know, we're expecting news to flow. We were talking last week about them teasing us. Mm. I have this assumption, I think you said it last week as well, David, that they're probably going to introduce a new song or two over the course of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Feels about right. Maybe sing one in the US. So makes me wonder if they'll do a one or two new songs on this tour.
It certainly sounds like they're poised to drop another new single soon. So it would coincide with the US tour.
Yeah, and if you look at it sort of historically, and I don't think this is just relevant to Lacuna Carl. I think it's a lot of bands kind of like to drop a song around the same time as a show or a tour, don't they? So that they can build up a lot of interest for the song.
It's good hype.
And also, yeah, and you know, play the song and you know get people rocking along to it. Hmm. But we are excited. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
I haven't brought any VIP tickets yet. I missed out on London, which is disappointing, but it is what it is. I was thinking of kind of going for like maybe Nottingham, somewhere like that, as a
quiet.
Quieter. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have London, but I think London, as always, is going to be a mess and chaos.
It's going to be chaotic, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I just hope, though, that as we were discussing on chat, that if it sold out within an hour, hour and a half, I would hope that it is smaller numbers and not the chaos that it has been previously. Like when we saw them in New York, they had that many VIPs. It was snaking up and down the venue and it kind of loses its shine, as you said.
Exactly. I think if you're going to be a VIP, you want to feel like a VIP, right? You want to have you don't want to feel like you're on a kind of a gravy train or a conveyor belt.
That
kind of thing. You want a bit of time. You want the opportunity to get into the venue and all the things that they traditionally do. VIP, a picture of the band, chance to meet them, all those kinds of things. And if there's 200 people in front or behind you, it doesn't quite feel like that. But I appreciate that. It's tough being in a touring band these days, and you've got to find ways to generate some revenue because, let's face it, you're not going to generate any out of the music, so you've got to generate out of merchandise and things like this. So I totally respect it, And I suppose in some respects we are, having done the shows and being involved in the community that all three of us are, that we kind of have that opportunity to see them more so than others might, so... If you're relatively new to the band, or even if you're not, this might be the first time that you get a chance to do VIP, and having it sold out because you happen to not log on at the right time on a Friday morning, it's kind of disappointing. Same with everything, isn't it, really? So I don't know how I feel.
Yeah.
I kind of want it to be special for people that do it because it's not cheap. And I want it to be a good way of generating revenue for the band who, you know, I've got a job, and finding the right numbers to make both of those two things successful, I think, is the challenge, isn't it? So
and we do get complacent, don't we, sometimes if you see them a lot, or if you see them a lot and see them elsewhere, like I'm seeing them in the US before the UK, so ample time for me to see them, and we see them before or whenever anyway, so
randomly walking down the road and getting to the pizza place first and then accusing us of following them, and we were definitely going there first and
staying
in our hotel, like what the hell was that all about?
Just following us,
It's just these people are stalking us all the time, and literally that place in where was a beach in LA?
Was it Ventura?
Maybe? Ventura Beach. We come out of a hotel and they're like, "What the hell are these guys doing here? Oh, yeah, they're playing tonight." But that's not the point. This was our hotel. We were here first. We weren't here first.
Yeah, and they're staying on our floor as well.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? Yeah. Anyway, so I guess when you those kind of things, and then when you go for a beer, you go for food, or go for breakfast or whatever, it's different from Well, it's definitely different from seeing them when they're doing their job, right? It's like seeing a friend, you know, out for a meal and seeing them at work, kind of thing. It's different things.
Mm.
But I'm definitely going to get VIP for one. Assuming I can, it will probably be Nottingham. I might try for another, but we'll see. We'll see how I feel. So, all right, cool. Well, there you go, UK tour. And I'm hoping, by the way, if you're listening to this. And if you're not, I don't know why I said if you're listening to this. It's one of those weird things, isn't it? You are listening to this. Therefore, if you're in the UK, I certainly hope that we're going to see you at least one of the shows. So do reach out. Yeah. Say hello. Let's buy beers. Let's have a conversation. And as a consequence, if you want to come on the podcast and talk about your experiences at the UK shows or any Lacuna Coil show, for that matter, then also reach out because we love having fellow coilers on the Empty Spiral podcast. Let's talk vinyls. This can please Dave.
I'm assuming you mean musical vinyls, not, you know, clothing vinyl when you've gone all kinky on us.
You can and should make that assumption. Yes, I'm talking good. Musical vinyls. I'm not even sure where you were going with that. So recently Lacuna Coil, our record label, their record label has released the gold version of Karma Code. And the silver version of Broken Crown Halo as new coloured versions of older albums. I guess my first question is, who's got them? Who bought them? Or got them on their way?
I did buy them, yes, right. Because okay. I buy everything.
So is it because you buy everything? Or do you have a particular desire about vinyls? I'm just interested to understand.
No, it is literally because I'm that tragic that I just buy everything. If it's released, I get it. Because I'm a hoarder, I suppose.
Okay.
And I like pretty things. And golden and pretty. They're fairly hot on the heels of the earlier releases, was that a few months ago, I think, when they
bring out like a Shallow Life in luminescent green or something.
No, the Broken Crown Halo and Karma Code ones. They brought them out on it was a just a standard black.
Right.
And clear vinyls.
Right.
So it's a continuation of those re-releases, just another colour for some reason now.
Interesting. Just because
you know, it's easy to say money grabbing, but
I don't know. Well, it's certainly a way of generating revenue, right? But there's going to be a cost associated with these limited runs in any way. I think one of my what the hell. One of my drum heads literally just fell off the wall.
There's a ghost in your room.
It's literally just going, I've had enough of this, I'm leaving. It was one of the Lacuna Coil drum heads that Christina drew just fell off the wall behind me. How bizarre. There we go. We'll leave that in. I collected quite a few of them originally because obviously they've been doing this for a number of years, different colour ones. But I'm far more choosy now than I was before. And I think there's two reasons for that. Not that I don't see the value in them. I really like them. I like shiny things as well. And I've got a bit of a, like I think many people, a renewed love for vinyl. I mean, for many of us, it didn't go away. But I've reached a point now, with the probably exception of Lacuna Coil, I don't buy CDs anymore. I buy CDs for Lacuna Coil. But for bands I really like, I buy vinyls. I kind of have my physical representation of a love for a band will come through a vinyl or through clothing merchandise. But for the bands I listen to, I tend not to buy singles anymore. Sorry, CDs anymore. So I've got a pretty good collection of vinyls. Certainly got everything, obviously, from Lacuna Coil. But I don't have all the different colour ones. And that's mostly due to space, I think. They do take up space. And I want to store them where I can get to them easily. So for me, there's no point buying a vinyl than sticking in the loft because it's the only place I've got to put it. I need to store them. And they're obviously bigger, so... It's kind of this weird challenge of buying something that's physically larger than a CD, but then complaining I don't have anywhere to put it. It's like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me being hypocritical. And then
you just need to build another extension to house them all.
And someone's at my front door.
It's a vinyl delivery.
Maybe I do need to buy create another extension. My friends have said I need to kind of go up and create a second floor. Just for more games and more vinyls, I guess. What about you, Mike? What's your view on the vinyls? I mean, firstly, can you play them? I'm guessing that Dave can, being the audiophile that you are. You have a record player, right, Dave?
I do indeed, yes. Yeah, I play vinyls quite often.
Okay, what about you, Mike? Can you play them, and do you have any Lacuna Core ones?
I can't play them. I just collect them. But I'm like you. I've gone through the years collecting the stuff and being more selective. I don't get why they would do the thing recently with the clear and the black, and now these two. I mean, we're coming up to, in a few months, the 25th anniversary of Inner Reverie. So hopefully that gets the old bells and whistles treatment. I think that's a more important milestone rather than keep rehashing the odd vinyl in a different colour.
Fair enough.
I get that they send them out when they do, like Delirium had multiple copies, which I think I got all of those, but then I kind of stopped because I'm obviously more selective with the, as you say, storage is the main thing. And
do you hang them on the walls? Because if I look
at my room at the moment, I've got like, what have I got? I've got Unleash Memories, Coma Lies, and I think that's Dark Adrenaline. I can't even see it from, I can't remember what I got on my wall, but you get those frames that you can put vinyl sleeves in, and I put them on my wall because some of them, the artwork on them is beautiful, right? And I love having that on my wall. So and that's where I'm tending to go with.
Thing is, you can see my walls. I haven't got any.
Yeah, you haven't got any space on your walls, have you? So, because
it's August vinyl.
This is your vinyl, wall-to-wall vinyl. So, I mean, as you talk about Inner Reverie, I think I mentioned this before. I don't know whether it was just me, but I really thought that when they released the Inner Reverie vinyl a few years ago, certainly before lockdown, I played that, and I genuinely thought the musical quality coming out of that, and I don't have a really good, amazing record player for the record, you know, for the record. I don't have a really, really good sound setup, but I genuinely thought that Inner Reverie on vinyl just sounded better than it did on CD, or certainly through a digital format. And I'm going to say, I'm not an audiophile. So, in fact, if I'm going to listen to Inner Reverie, that is my absolute format of choice, is to stick a vinyl on. I do like vinyls. I do remember growing up there, you didn't get to cherry pick, you know, you had to listen to the whole side unless you wanted to be really clever and, you know, drop the needle in the right place on the vinyl. And I think that kind of, I felt that when I respect music more, if I listen to it on vinyl, it kind of forces me to not take I'll just pluck a single out of the album. It kind of, but I at least going to listen to a whole side of an album, which I think is.
So I would say that is the divide from vinyl, between vinyl and anything else. It is the ritual. It's not even the sound. I know the people in the know can tell you whether it's better sound quality, and you said you kind of prefer that vinyl sound. But for me, it's the ritual of listening to it, of playing it. It's the physical part, rather than just clicking stream and it running in the background. You're far more involved with a vinyl, and like you say, a bit more committed to listening to it because you've made the effort of physically putting it on.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm flipping it over midway. Although I am going to call foul on a lot of our bands these days. When I think it bothers me more is when you take out a vinyl record out of the sleeve and you can't tell which side is A and which side is B. I'm like, what? Which side? At least print it on the label. It's not difficult. Make it clear. Every band can be accused of that. You know, when I was growing up, at least it was really obvious. They probably would have had the track listing on each side of the, you know, in the label in the center. But these days, you just get some arty farty black or multicolored splat or something with no identifying features to tell you that you listen to either side of it. So is the ritual kind of going, putting it on and going, shit, got the wrong side and I wanted to listen to the other side? Or have we started listening to albums from the second half through to the first half? Rather than all the way through in the original format.
Yeah, you've perhaps been doing that and not even realised what side's A and which side's B.
Exactly. I was at one stage, I almost took the sacrilegious view of maybe putting a sticker on the A side, just like a little, you know, like a little star or something, just so that I could. But I thought, no. That's up there with writing in a book. You know what I mean?
Don't do that.
That disturbs me, that I was writing in books.
I know. Oh, yeah, we don't want to do that. Okay, so what about picture discs? Because I think, and I know they're far more expensive, but I love a Lacuna Core picture disc, and I'd love it if they brought out a picture disc for every album. That would be incredible. I mean, I would absolutely suck those bad boys off the digital market, you know, off the internet. Give me those. Let me put them on my wall. I love them. So
100% agree. Yep, definitely need them.
Yeah, so maybe we can encourage a little bit of picture disc magic or love.
Picture disc work especially well if it's a 7-inch single vinyl as well.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Lacuna Coil are desperately missing. They've had, you know, a couple around the Karma Code era, no single releases. And I really, really miss singles. 7-inch picture discs are the way to go.
Yes.
It's the future, I tell you.
It's the future. Absolutely. All right, we could maybe do a little bit of work on them. Come on, guys. 7-inch picture disc. I'd love to see that. You know, with some,
and they say, what?
Yeah, with some Mackie artwork. There you go. Because that would be cool. Some Mackie artwork on one side. That'd be amazing. Okay, right. Well, a vinyls then. So I'm guessing that you're going to buy, when the new album comes out, you're going to, when it drops, we're all going to, are you going to buy a copy of the album, the vinyl, Mike? Do you always buy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's
the same with me. More than anything, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to buy two. I did one that I can sign because it invariably ends up with like rude messages towards me on the front.
Yeah.
Or pictures of penises or whatever. That's usually what goes on. And then one that I can kind of keep.
Mm.
And maybe I like the one that's signed probably won't get played, but the one that isn't signed will, if you know what I mean. That sort of thing. So can I collect one, play the other? So I'll probably get two. But again, I am a bit of a sucker. I'm not going to lie for the colours. So it depends. If they're clever about the colours and it kind of aligns like a red copy of Unleashed Memories, I'm there. You know what I mean? It's got that one straight away, sort of thing. Yellow copy of Karma Code. You know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. But all of the different colours, I just don't have the space to be able to store. But there you go, vinyls. We should definitely come back to this subject and talk about audio quality and the ritual of vinyls and so on and so forth. So Humane then, or I should say Humane XX. It's the fourth song on Comalize XX, and of course a reworking of the classic Home Humane from Comalize all those years ago. When we reviewed this back in episode 41 of the Empty Spiral podcast, back on the 19th of October 2013 was when we released it. I listened to that and I was very croaky. I must have had a cold that day. I was very like this. It was my jazz voice. it was very strange listening to that voice. Is that me? It is me. And I was very, 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 okay. But we were quite consistent in our scores on that day. We gave the song a 7 out of 10 across the board. Okay. But we're not reviewing Humane. We're reviewing Humane XX. So I'm going to start just by asking Dave what your view of Humane was, and then we'll talk collectively about Humane XX. So let's start, Dave. Give me your views right now of the original.
It's going to be a fairly short review, actually, because more than anything, I've always found it very much an album track.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I don't especially, or didn't especially, see anything sparking with it. I didn't necessarily connect with it like I have with others, certainly things like I was saying last week with Daylight Dancer. So it following Daylight Dancer on the album, it was almost a bit of a come down, and that's nothing against the song. It's a fairly completely workable, good, well-written song. Just there's a little bit something missing that made it a bit more background than a lot of the others.
Yeah.
So, I mean, cutting to the end, of an out of 10, I'd have probably pitched for about 6.
Okay.
It's sort of mid-range. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, but that's perhaps the problem.
Isn't the reason it's not a single. Yeah, there's clear reasons why it's not a single.
It's quite lovely, but perhaps a bit plodding, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much what we said collectively way back in the day, 11 years ago when we did it. You know, it's nothing wrong with it. It's quite reasonable. It's a sort of quite a slow track. It's different from the previous three tracks. It's kind of a chill out song in the middle of this
this part of the album, but there's nothing really stand out. And as I say, that's why we got 7 out of 10. I'm going to start with you, Mike. Give me your views then of Humaine XX. What do you think of this song?
I think, like, touching on what Dave just said, similar, but they've jazzed it up a bit. They've made the song shorter. So the
jazzed it up a bit. That's hilarious. I like the idea that they're now jazz hands in there.
So at the start, when you had Christina doing her bit, that's become much shorter when the guitars kick in. Yep. And it's all the faster pace. Andrea sings a lot faster in it. And there's little subtle parts in it which I think make it slightly better, where Cree's voice is layered over Andy in the verse a bit more.
Yep.
There's a few growls thrown in the chorus, and that makes it more on theme with the XX album, with what they've tried to do with it. Near the end, where you've got In Your Heart, Your Love Again, on repeat, you've got a bit more guitars and more growls in it, but they've not really done much with it, and I don't think they can do much with it because of how the original was. You can't
without changing it completely, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing that you can really deviate from the original with to make it the wow factor to say, "Oh, this is, I don't know, another Heaven's the Lie XX kind of thing."
Is there any? Is there one thing that sticks out to you that you like most about this newer version?
I just think that Andrea's vocals, to me, now it's slightly faster. I think that works better with the song compared to the original. Even though I think the original was all right, I think it's better now. It's faster, and the guitars in it, and the more drums in it, it's more focused that way. So it's almost a different song, but not quite a different song.
Okay. What is there anything you don't like about the newer version over the older one?
No, it's just one of those things. It's there, and it's still there.
It's there, and it's still there.
It's not something that they could probably do live, is it? It's definitely not one of those songs that, like, a lot of songs translate better live than they are on the album.
I think they could do it live. It could work better live now than it would before.
They'd make it much, much heavier, wouldn't they?
Definitely feels like the original, as you say, David, the original being an album track, I feel like it'd be almost not impossible, because they must have played it live at some stage, I think. But I would imagine it wouldn't be a high tempo, get the crowd going kind of song, but it actually potentially kind of could be now. But yeah, I do take your point. Okay. Mm. Dave, what about you? What are your thoughts on Humaine XX?
All my thoughts have basically just been voiced by Mike. Right. It's absolutely spot on. pretty much word for word, I've said exactly the same thing. It's interesting that they've made it shorter and snappier. Chopping, it's about 30 seconds difference, I think, which is
almost exactly chunk, 30 really. Seconds. Yeah, it's quite a chunk.
But it's absolutely brilliant what they've done with it. I think they have elevated it a great deal more. I think that's perhaps the only difference I'd have from what Mike said, in that I think they really have changed this into a far better song.
Mm.
It's a much better version of, without changing it too drastically. It's a really good facelift, and definitely Andy's vocals are perfection.
Mm.
It's exactly what I would have wanted. It's just given them that brutality that wasn't there before. When he was on the original, it was kind of gentle, almost nonchalant.
Mm.
But now it's got purpose, really kind of beefy. And the way they've done that is very clever, I think.
What's the standout thing for you then? You know, you talk about Andy's vocals. Is that what stands out the most for you?
I think it is, yeah. Well, that and the bass line, which has changed pace, because before it was almost like a single plodding note in the background. Mm. And that's the key word there, background. But now there's this quicker pulsing to it, which picks up the pace of the song. And it doesn't necessarily change the speed too much, just the pace of it. And the drums as well, the Mike said about, they're a bit more punchy, a bit more individually identifiable, especially at the end where they've got that little drum crescendo.
Yeah.
that's brilliant. That's again changed the face of how you changed how you heard that. Just that little drum, but it made all the difference. It was a lot more obvious, and it seems to work a lot better. So generally, I think that they've done absolutely everything right with this one.
Yeah, yeah. So let me give you my own view. I agree, actually. So when I was listening to this over the last couple of days, the beginning is there. You know, that kind of, ooh, we get that, but it's not that bit doesn't be any faster, but it's much shorter. It's the other one was kind of longer. It was more drawn out. This is a shorter. Then we get the heaviness as the bass comes in. And just on your point, though, the clean vocals from Andy, I really love. And, you know, I remember last week when you were talking about Daylight Dancer. I could well imagine you going, if only we'd had that kind of clean vocals at the beginning of Daylight Dancer, then we would have, you know, it would help build it up. Because he does go into growl vocals later, which is one of the things I really like about this. As you said, Mike, the tempo is higher throughout. There's a pace to this, which explains the 30-second difference, of course. But it is notable. If you listen to them side by side, you said plodding. This doesn't plod, does it? This is this is definitely a canter, maybe even going into a gallop. And there's that, again, I wrote down pulsing, and you said it, Dave. There is that kind of pulse in the music. It's like a heartbeat. It's like a drive, which I think
it's like great. Before it was dead and now it's alive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like boom, you know, clear dump, and now we've got a song. The thing that impacts me, like a freight train, Mike, is the bass. When it kicks in, in your heart, and then boom, and it just hits you. I love the bass, and I think Marco's done a great job here of elevating the bass through the mix. But here's the thing, even though it's more aggressive, there are definitely layers to this song. You can hear the layers. They've done a great job of not muddying them up so much that you can't hear them. You can still hear the synths, you can still hear the drums, still hear the guitars. It feels like a really balanced, layered version of Humane. I love the combination of, as is almost always the case, of Cree and Andy's vocals, but in particular Cree's kind of, I want to use the word waily, but that sounds disingenuous.
Funny you should mention wail, because I was going to say that when you said layers as well, there's that wail song sound. Hook in. Well, it does repeat, doesn't it?
It does. There's a really nice hook in there. But when she does the sort of in your heart, and he's growling, he's got really good, not forced, really good growl vocals, which supports it. And we really get that, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Angel versus Demon, whatever you want to call it, vibe that is almost synonymous with Lacuna Coil's vocals. So for me, the bass of this is just, it's really good. It's epic. I love it. And I love the synths as well, because I found that there wasn't the level of maturity in the synths in the original one, especially towards the end, where you get that kind of synth on its own. It doesn't feel
a Casio keyboard.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's a little plinky plonky. It's nothing wrong with it, but this is so much better. And I think what we're seeing here is far more, as you would kind of hope for, a mature interpretation of the lyrics in the song. I do think we lose the ethereal quality of the original. There is a sort of a dreamlike quality of it. And I think it's because of the slow pace, possibly of its position in the album after Daylight Dancer. But it does feel like it takes you away. It's like you're sitting in a chill out room in the semi-dark, you know, kind of having a cocktail, and that feels like it's that kind of song. We don't get that in this one. But I think we gain more than we lose. We gain that kind of the chugginess of the bass, especially when it kicks in your heart. It definitely feels more mature. And I think what this song does that the original doesn't do, and I'd kind of argue, I might come back to this point when we look at other songs. I think there's a number of songs on Coleman Lies that don't do this. They don't build. Whereas I think Humane XX builds really, really well in a far more matured way to the end. And I like it. I like it a lot. I do think it's better than the original. This is definitely my Humane of choice, as it were. I like that they've not changed the structure too much. I mean, the lyrics, you could almost you could find the lyrics of the original and you could sing the lyrics of the original with the new version and you wouldn't get lost, you know. That's to say, there's not that many lyrics to the song, right? You know, we've got kind of a pretty much a two verse song and then quite a lot repeating towards the end. You know, it's not a complex song, but it does enough lyrically and it doesn't mix things up lyrically.
I think it's more impactful because of that.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I don't think we need a complex poetry in a song like this. And actually reviewing this again has reminded me how much I think there's so much poetry in here. You know, you walk on by without a feeling to your stroll. I really like that. Although I always thought it was without feeling in your soul. I don't know why, but in my head, I've always gone without feeling in your soul. And I was like, I'm sure it was that. I was like, I think all the lyrics wrong, but I listened to it. No, without feeling to your stroll, you walk alone. And I really like that. There's some really nice little things in here. You know, there's a phrase to be, there's a place to be afraid. There's another chain to hold and you don't know. You need it by your side. And just there's little things like that. And then probably my favorite lyric in here is your head is when you dream and I'm awake.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that. It just feels like just a great bit of poetry. There's a lot of depth to that one line. So there's a lot to like about this song. And I feel like Humaine XX has made me reevaluate Humaine, even the original. And I certainly like Humaine XX more than the original. So, Mike, what do you give out of 10? Or are we going for colours or animals? I don't mind. It's up to you.
No. I think out of 10 is based on the previous review many moons ago. I would say they've done a lot more with it, and it's comfortably where it is now in the album with the King. So I'll give it a solid 8.
An 8 out of 10. Okay, what about you, Dave? What kind of number are you going to give Humaine XX?
Numbers-wise, the original, I still think it's sort of a 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
This one, definitely an 8.
Okay, all right. Well, again, consistency seems to be our middle name because I wrote down an 8 out of 10 for this. I definitely think it's stepped up.
Absolutely.
Quite a lot with the changes they've made. So I'm guessing, and I don't want to put words in either of your mouth, but I'm guessing, given the choice, this would be the one we would listen to all the time over at Humaine? Or is your favourite version the one you're listening to, like we talked about last week with Daylight
Dancer? No, definitely XX for this one.
The XX. Mike?
Yeah, always XX. Yeah.
Nice. All right, well, double thumbs up then for Humaine XX. Looks like it's definitely improved on the original. And, great, great song. I still wish we could get an acoustic version, though. So there we go. Right. I think that brings us to a close this week on the Empty Spiral podcast. We need to do this more often, or at least as often as we're doing it. We'll try to keep this momentum in our calendars once more. Really enjoyed the conversation today. We definitely need to come back and talk about sixth form songs. and perhaps a little bit more on vinyls, the pros and cons thereof, and the ritual behind the vinyl, which I really like. I think there's a lot of value in what you said there. But I guess, like I end all of the podcasts, I just want to encourage everybody to definitely go away and look at Humaine XX again, right? For sure. You know, if this conversation has inspired you to listen to the two songs side by side, then great. Go away and listen to them. Post on Discord, stick it on our Facebook page. Give us your own thoughts on Humaine XX. I'd love to hear from people, especially now the album's been out, you know, a good 18 months plus. It gives a chance to sort of reflect on what it's like, because I know that there would have been people at the time that kind of went, oh my God, I can't handle this. Why would you break this? And, you know, I think over the course of the last year, perhaps people have had a chance to sort of, give it more airtime, as it were, and look at each song individually in its own merits. But anyway, I'm done for the day. I'm going to go off now and repair the light in my bathroom. Yes, exciting day for me. And I hope you gents have a even more impassioned day and you get to do more exciting things. And I also hope that everybody listens to more Lacuna Coil. See you later, everybody.
Cheers, everyone.
Until next time.